there's always a time where people reinvent themselves, they look to set new goals, make new resolutions. You wouldn't believe how many people joined the gym right around that time. You watch them all come in, and you know that by March, half will be gone, but they'll be paying the money because, you know, it's only $10 a month. And so, but everybody makes those new things they want to do. I've done that many times. Always try to do things that are spiritually motivating, intellectually motivating, physically and emotionally. Try to read new things and, you know, just try to enhance my own life, and I encourage you to do that too. But a lot of times, I just want to give you some principles and some things. So if you're interested, you weren't here the last couple weeks or online, I'm sure you can listen to them. Not really a series, but it's just a few talks about things that can prepare us for a new year and things that will help us grow in the Lord. So today we're going to talk about how God prepares us. And to me, is one thing that I've learned is everything that happens in our life is going to be used to move us to different locations or to advance us or success or failures based upon what happens. And if we're going to become somebody prepared for service of some sort, we have to understand the other side, and we have to be the person. And the key to this is this. He wants us to come to the place that we're totally submissive to God. When you look at Moses, I'm sure in that 40 years in Egypt, became very egotistical and very self-reliant. He mastered everything. But he was not prepared yet to be the leader for God until God got him to the place to where he lost everything so that that could be replaced with his dependence upon God. When you look at David, David was anointed king as a young boy. That could have gone to his head. And the time between being anointed king and eventually having the throne given to him was some span of years. He went through times where Saul tried to kill him. He went through some times where his brothers rejected him. He went through times where he was hiding from the armies of Saul in caves. And to get to the place to where he was finally going to be used of God, he had to get to the place to where he wasn't reliant upon his own abilities. He had to be totally dependent upon God. Peter is a prime example of a type A personality that he basically was going to, all in that group of disciples through the life of Christ, he was constantly kind of, you know, directing the way things should go. He was constantly rebuking Jesus. He was constantly arguing with everybody. He thought he had all the answers. And the reason why he wasn't ready for being in service yet is because he had not been broken. But after he rejected Christ and he went out and wept bitterly, and then he finds out that Jesus actually did rise from the dead, and that he does meet Jesus, his ability to be the courageous leader he became wasn't because of his own life and what he knew. It was because of his dependence upon God. So I say that to say this, is if we're going to succeed in our lives in a new year, whatever it may be, whatever it be, secular or spiritual, is you're going to go through times of disappointment. And you're going to go through times of failing. You're going to go through times of rejection and hurt and pain and all that. All that is to place us to a point to where we're dependent upon God for where we're going. Anybody that's ever, you know, had failures, it does two things to you. It either makes you bitter or makes you better. If you allow it to eat at you, if you become hatred of those that might have persecuted you, if you become the person who basically felt you deserved more or you're entitled, you're going to become very bitter. But if you understand that everything, and I'll share some points in a second, that if we depend upon God and he's the one we're wanting to please, and he's the one we're looking for our direction, and we know that all the things he allows us to go through is just part of the training system for him to get us to the place where we can be used, because the key to success for a Christian isn't all you know here, it isn't all that you've experienced. Many times it's simply that your dependence on God, and you're wanting to know what he's thinking and what his will is and what he wants you to accomplish. And that's the key to being prepared, and that's how God prepares us. God prepares us more in the valleys than he does on the mountaintops. But he wants us to be dependent upon him. Now, let me say this before I go into the scriptures. There is a, you know, we don't like to say sometimes that Christians have an upper hand on things in the world or whatever. You know, somebody listening to this in the secular world, non-saved people would say, well, you know, Christians are no better than us. And I will say this, Christians are no better than anybody else. And Christians, you know, the old bumper sticker is, we're not perfect, we're just forgiven, and that's very, very true. We're not. But here's the key. The Bible explicitly talks about that as believers in Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God that indwells us, that we have an understanding and we have a wisdom, and we have the ability to have a wisdom and understanding beyond what those who don't believe, because they can't fully comprehend the spiritual world the way that we do, because the Spirit of God lives within us. And to me, that's important for you to understand, that as a Christian, I truly believe that we have a better understanding of life and life's issues and where we're going and where we came from than those that don't know Christ. And you say, well, that's kind of one side, kind of narrow-minded, but that's what the Scriptures teach. And the sad part is many times we try to do so many things and prepare so many things in our own ways, our own minds, the way we want to do it, instead of just resting on the fact that God has a plan and we just need to keep seeking Him, so that we have that understanding where we're going. By the way, if you get yourself in line with God's thinking, the mind of God, the things of God, when you have defeats, it won't defeat you. Paul talked about this many times, that he was beat up, but he wasn't crushed. He understood what it was to keep moving past each situation, knowing that God has a plan. Many times those in the world that don't know Christ, they get crushed very quickly because they don't have that ultimate understanding of the universe that God is working in. And we do. And that's the Scriptures we want to talk about right now. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, in verse 6 through 16, we're going to read it. I'm going to kind of point out some things here. Paul is writing, and he's talking about this very nature of how God prepares us, and how that we have the wisdom of God, and we have the understanding of God, and that with that, God prepares us for things that we didn't even know were going to happen. It says here, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. Look at that. God destined for our glory before time began. God had a plan long before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Think about that. Those who crucified him, they didn't understand the spiritual nature of it, and so they crucified Jesus Christ. Verse 9, however, as it is written, what no eye has seen, and what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. The human mind can't fully comprehend what God has prepared for those that are his children that love him. These are the things that God has revealed to us by His Spirit. And there it is right there. I was talking about that. God reveals things through His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not the words taught to us by human wisdom, but by the words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with spiritual taught words. The person without the Spirit, here it is, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness. It cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. Who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. When you read that passage here, you get a very clear understanding that when it comes to the idea of God's preparation for us, we have all these things we go through, the valley and the mountaintop experience. But the key for Moses, the key for David, the key for Peter is that they had a spiritual connection to God, and they knew that something was going to happen. They knew that that valley experience was going to be something that was going to catapult them to where that God wanted them. They trusted in His will beyond everything else. And I talked a few weeks ago about knowing, about being spiritually growing, a spiritual growth. I truly believe is that you know you're growing spiritually when you don't worry about all the little things happening around you, because you get almost excited and apprehensive because you know that God is doing something. I talk about things that have transpired in my life the last month, and I share this because much of what I talk about deals with my own life experiences. And the reality of winning something or losing something should not change the thinking in my heart, mind, and soul. Because the moment I win, I would say, God bless, this is God's will, because obviously he showed it through the people of the society. But when it doesn't go my way and I don't win, it doesn't mean that I lost. It means that God has something now, next, to achieve. I don't know what it is. I've taken up back the guitar. I bought one 3 years ago, and I'm playing around pretty good. I would like to be, 70 years old. I'd like to be the best guitarist in the world, but it's not going to happen, probably. But I honestly I thank God for his spirit. I thank God for my Christian faith, because I have seen people that lost things. They felt rejected, and they respond in such a horrible way that to me, it's like, we almost ought to approach that when failures come and a door closes, it ought to give us a little bit of like joyous apprehension. What's going to happen next? What's going to happen next? Where is God going to work next? What's going to open up next? And you wait with positive anticipation. And although no one likes losing anything, I'm very competitive. Our fantasy football this year in our church league, I'm in last place. I'm having a hard time with that. I'm playing Sarah this week, and I'm just hoping to disrupt her. All I want to be is a spoiler now, okay? And so last year I was in first place the whole year, and I'm very competitive. But be very careful of being competitive on your spiritual things, because sometimes we allow that to affect us too much. But I love what says this: who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. See, we get instructed. Life lessons come, failures come, aggravations come, rejections, all those things happen. People get jealous of us or whatever. But we have the mind of Christ. It says in the scripture that prepares us. It says, it's such a glorious scripture because it tells me that as a Christian, I have a unique relationship with God that gives me a better understanding of what's happening. And even when I don't know what's happening, I know that God has a plan. Let me give you a list here real quick. These are practical things I just wrote down this week about preparation and where they come from. Preparations come from something. First of all the experiences of our past. I've studied all these people in scriptures here, and they all have things you can see in their lives from David to Peter to the Apostle Paul to Nehemiah to Noah. You can see that God made them who they were, what they became, because of the experiences in their past. Things they went through. David, by the way, was one of the most gracious kings. Because when he finally took over the nation of Israel, usually the common thing was is to kill off all the family of the former king so you don't have anybody trying to rebel against you. That was common. David, he found the one ancestor, the one relative of King Saul. He called him in, and that person thought David was going to behead him. And David said, David placed him at his table and made him part of his family. I think David had a heart to forgive and a heart not to judge and a heart to accept people because he went through so much rejection. So instead of it making him bitter, it made him better. Our experiences will, preparation comes from our experiences of the past. Secondly, God's progressive unveiling. As our lives from birth until death are part of an overall plan for God. God doesn't unveil the whole picture in advance. It's always progressively unveiling. And you know more when you look back. It becomes, hindsight's perfect. And you get better understanding if you're smart, if you learn from it. But preparation comes from constantly God unveiling something new, and you know something new is coming. Thirdly, wisdom exclusive to his children. I emphasize that quite a bit here. I'm not saying that the world is not smart, don't get me wrong. Intellect and knowledge are not the same as wisdom. Wisdom is, in a spiritual wisdom, comes from God and comes from His scriptures. As we absorb them, we understand the will of God. And I do truly believe that there is a wisdom that comes exclusively for those that are saved, that are part of the family of God, because we have the Holy Spirit living in us that convicts our hearts, teaches us, reminds us. We constantly have that going on to keep us in the right place. Preparation comes then out from those who seek the mind of God, and that's important. Seek the mind of God. Whatever you're going through, and you're going through a trial, and you know God's up to something, just keep seeking God. Share with me and show me what you're thinking. What would you have me to do? What attitude should I have in this? Totally keep seeking the mind of God. And then last of all, those who do not allow human barriers to hinder them. There's many scriptures, you know, that we talk about. I call them those coffee mug scriptures, you know. Who can be, with Christ for us, who can be against us? A great scripture. To me, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Everything that we can move forward on has to do with the spiritual realm. So don't let the human barriers become a hindrance to what God can accomplish in your life. God has moved human barriers so many times in scriptures. God has done miraculous things. When you think about Moses crossing the Red Sea, and with the waters divided up, and they went across on dry land, and then he closed up the waters so that the Egyptians could not follow. God removed a human physical barrier. God can do these things constantly. And we always think the Old Testament and the Bible time, those are the times of miracles and great things that God has done. God has not changed. I think a lot of times we just have a lack of faith that he can still do these things. Preparation comes for those who don't allow human barriers to hinder them. Before I get to the walk away, I want to kind of share a story with you about never knowing what going on in your life prepares you. Our temperaments are prepared by many times our birth order. I'm a middle child, so I'm by nature a negotiator between my two brothers. So we have all those things that we have in our life, and there are things that we didn't know prepared us for what we would do, what we would become in later days. But this, I always mention, I love history. I love presidential history. And during World War II, when Franklin Roosevelt was president, he obviously led us to victory in the European War, the World War II. He had a great understanding of the cultures and of the people of Europe, in the world in general. He wasn't a highly educated scholar. He was a C-plus student for the most part. But he was a person that when it came time to be the right person in the right place, that to be able to understand the thinking of the German people, the Nazi Party, which came in by an election. It wasn't an overtaking. It was a process. He understood all these things. And he understood, and he predicted how that they would go into Czechoslovakia, into Poland, and do this. And he understood, and him and Winston Churchill really were great, great partners in winning that war, in a sense, along with some great generals like Patton and others. But he had a great understanding, and it was commented to him many times about where he got this understanding. Since he wasn't a great achiever in school, he wasn't the greatest student. And he wasn't a history major. But he had an understanding of culture enough to be able to predict what's happening, and it gave him the advantage to be able to, with the Allied troops, to be able to crush the Nazis and bring liberty to those many, many nations, including France and Czechoslovakia and Poland and the rest of them. And in the book I'm reading, it's interesting where he got this from. When he was a kid, he was an only child. And he basically wasn't a big one involved in sports and things like that. When he was a young boy, his father had a stroke, and so he had to take care of his father and his mother. And so he mainly spent times indoors, and so he started a hobby. And the hobby was he started collecting stamps. And every time he would get a stamp from a different country, he would rush to find encyclopedias, all the information about that nation. And even until he became president, there's a story that talks about that him and Winston Churchill were at the White House, and they were sipping brandy or something like that and talking about what's happening. And while he was doing that, there was Franklin Roosevelt, once again, a new stamp, put it into the book, and then talking about where it came from. And the thinking I have in that is that the reason why he understood the world affairs is because this kid collected stamps. And every stamp, although some other kids would have thought he was dorky, he was geeky, a stamp collector, I mean, that's worse than a butterfly collector, okay? Collected those. But he would run and read encyclopedias all about that nation, all about those people. And then he'd want to travel there, and he did travel. And he would go there and try to find the location where the stamp was mailed. But because he did that little thing, he had no clue that was preparing him for one day understanding the political nature, the economic nature, and the emotional nature of the world as at that time he was placed in position to lead and fight World War II. So I say that to say this. You don't know. If your kid is collecting stamps and you say, you know, why are you doing that? You never know. Whatever they're doing, there's a reason why they're doing it, and God can leverage everything in our lives to prepare us for something great. And I think that just keep looking for what it is and keep doing what you're doing. Let me give you the walk away. Walk away is every single thing that has ever happened in your life is preparing you for something that is meant to come. And I truly believe that. And my common thing when I'm done with a task is I always say the word onward. I used to like watching the show West Wing, and every time President Obama got done with it, he would always say, what's next? But I like onward. And I end a lot of my emails with people who get done with something, whatever task I'm working on, I'll put down there, onward. To me, it's just what's next. Because everything that's happened so far in my life, in 60 years of living, I can't wait to see what happens in the 70th year. Because you never know what God's going to do. You never know what God's going to do. You never know where God's going to place you. But seek Him to get that spiritual insight so that you can do the things that God wants you to do. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? Just practical lessons, things I've learned, things that intrigue me. I think that as we prepare for a new year, I think it's always a good opportunity to start preparing our minds and hearts about change, about advancement, about new habits, new experiences, better achievements. Changing things about our life you don't like, you know, it's a great opportunity. But usually it's great to get some thoughts as we get in there. God's preparing for you in 2019. God has a plan for every one of us. I'm convinced of that. And whatever you've been through in 2018 has probably prepared you for what's going to happen in 2019. Seek Him. Seek His mind. You have a spiritual understanding. Those of you that know Christ, you have a spiritual understanding beyond what the world has. That doesn't make you exclusive. It doesn't make you better. It's just the fact of the Scriptures that when the Spirit of God indwells a believer, when you became saved, there's a unique understanding and there's a guide in your life, in your heart, mind, and soul that's speaking to you constantly. That still small voice that many times when you're making the wrong decision will remind you, and when you have fears will comfort you. That's the Spirit of God. And that's not an advantage, but it's definitely an asset knowing that you have that. God's preparing us for something. He's preparing for all His children for something, and I can't wait to see what's next. Onward. So, Father, we just thank You so much for bringing us together. I pray, Lord, that these simple lessons the last few weeks are helpful. God, as we do a couple more before the Christmas service, God, I just pray, Lord, that You would just use them to encourage those and give us something to think about. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.